Amen. If you got your King James Bible, turn to John 20. If you got your other kind, turn there too. You might not be able to recognize it, but that's all right. John chapter number 20, verse 19 through 29 tonight. Marvelous passage of scripture. I'm going to do an expository message from this verse, but also I'm going to do somewhat of a biography of a brother in Christ. And we're going to talk some tonight about Thomas. Thomas. I know what you call him. You call him the doubt. That way he got his name, Doubting Thomas. And he's got a lot of grief over that. But I'm going to preach tonight on the transformation of Thomas. And let me say this tonight. I believe this coming week and weekend and next week can be a transforming time for you. Now, you got to be present to get it. And that is in body and soul and mind. But you can be transformed this week. Look with me and let's study some verses. Then I'll say a few remarks by introduction and then give you three or four little thoughts. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Now let me stop right there. And I know some of you are going to say, why are you stopping? Ladies and gentlemen, the first day of the week is Sunday. That's the week we worship, start worshiping. Upon the first day of the week. Please, in your prayers, don't say, Lord, on Sunday, bless us for this Sabbath. Because Sunday is not the Sabbath. That Sabbath is 6 o'clock Friday evening to 6 o'clock Saturday evening. Sunday is the Lord's day. You say, why do you say it? Because I hear some people pray sometimes. They say, Lord, thank you for the Sabbath. And it's Sunday. Good preaching, preacher. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear, there was a bunch of scaredy cats of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now here's, let's get it. You're in the room here. You're the disciples. He walked through that wall. Some of you get that. You say, how you know? Well, the doors were shut. He sure didn't come through the door. Came through the wall. You said, he can't do that. That's why you don't get blessed much. He can do anything he wants to do. He's God. He's powerful. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. He's all-consuming. Somebody help me. I feel some jubilee preach on me right now. Hey man, let me go on. Woo! And he says, peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Man, there's some teaching right there that I don't have time, but that verse absolutely butchers the reform movement and hyperdispensationalists. You say, I don't know what that means. You'll know in another time. Whoso ever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But, here we go, Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, preachers, you preachers, young preachers, let me give you another text tonight. So, point one, you can preach another sermon from it. What Thomas missed by his absence. Be a good idea you come to Jubilee next week. Because if you miss a service, you'll probably miss the best one. Just thought I'd give you some pastoral advice. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. He is a Baptist. After 8 days, again, disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas answered, I want y'all to know something. I don't believe he ever put one finger on Jesus. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Transformed him. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Thank you for the reading of the word. Let's do a little background. Thomas or Didymus. Let me give you something you may not know. He was a twin. He had a twin brother. The word Didymus means twin. Now, I cannot prove what I'm about to say. When I say that, this is Smithology. Or probably right when we get to heaven, you'll know, you'll say Pastor Smith was right that night. But most people believe he might have been twin brothers with Matthew. Now that, I can't prove that. Don't come up here and say, prove it! All I can tell you is, if you go look through the scripture, they run around a lot together. Brothers kind of do that. James and John, you know, hello. But he was a twin. Now, I've heard people preach and say, Tyler, I've heard people preach this, and I do not believe this at all. They preach that Thomas was scared to death, and that's why he did not stay to be in church that day. I do not believe that. Absolutely, I think I can prove that. Now, turn to John, please let me give you two passages of scripture, and I'm going on. I'm going to build this tonight. I'm building up for something. It's going to be good, too. John chapter number 11, verse 16. I'm going to just show you. He didn't run away. He did not run away because he was scared. I do not believe he was scared, and I'm going to prove he wasn't scared. Turn to John chapter 11, verse 16. If you're there, say amen. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go. And if you study the context, let's go with him. There was a threat of death on Jesus' head. And he said, let us go that we may die with him. Now, Lois says, let me ask you a question. Does that sound like a chicken? Does that sound like somebody was running scared? That ain't the reason Thomas was not there. I'll give you the reason, man. Stay with me. Now, turn one more verse. I'll give you one more about him. Then we'll go on. I'll give you three thoughts and I'm done. Go to John chapter 14, verse number 5. I'm just trying to get you to delve in his life a little bit so we can get his mentality a little bit. Thomas was a guy that he wanted a lot of information. Hello? You said, how you know he wanted a lot? Look at John 14. And Jesus was talking about the Father's house, and I go to prepare a place for you, and whether I go, you know. Look what Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? See, he wants some more information. Let me tell you what Thomas was. So instead of you calling him a doubter, let me really tell you what he was. So, because there's a lot of you like him. He was a pessimist. He was a glass half full guy. Can I just tell you, he was negative. And he had a negative personality. He was a Baptist, I know he was, Because most Baptists are negative. Most Christians are negative. We've got a great God, a mighty God, and I don't understand why we're negative. But some of us, we're negative. We just think negatively. That's just our M.O. R. McThomas was like that. Let me give you something. I believe he was so loyal to Christ that when Christ died, he was shattered. And he left because he was broken. He left because he was discouraged. He left because he was despondent. He left because he was disappointed. And he shattered him. I'll give you three things. I'm going to go. Number one, I want you to know Thomas and his pout. I'm going to make a statement here, and I don't want to upset nobody. There are going to be some people miss his absence this week, but two reasons. Number one, they just are not going to be here. Number two, they're going to be here, but they're going to be absent anyway. By the way, you come to church pouting, you ain't going to get nothing. We got a bunch of pouters. By the way, I'm a pouter every once in a while. Pouter. He was out pouting. And some of you, can I ask you a question? When you get in trouble and have problems, why do you want to exit the church instead of coming to church? Why do you want to stay at home and pout? Come on, Buster. When you can come in and shout. I'll tell you why you're made up that way. There's some of you in here, you're so negative, it's hard for you to get over that. Here's a pouter. Now, because he pouted, and because he was shattered, and because he was in that frame of mind, he did not show up. He just didn't make it to church that day. He is missing. Let me tell you something. If you miss this physically, or you come here and you miss it because you're not spiritual, you're going to miss some things. Can I tell you what he missed? How many want to hear what he missed? It's right here in the book. I'm going to show you in the book. I'm not going to deviate. I'm just going to show you in the book. Go back to chapter 20. Go to verse 19. When you get there, say amen. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the disciples were shut up, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. I'm going to tell you what he meant. He missed the presence of God. Jesus walked right through the wall. Can I ask you a question? And I feel this some way when I'm preaching. There's people in my congregation. There's some of you church members. I'm going to nail you right to the wall right now. And I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm going to tell you the truth. How can you be in that Taze Valley for the last, let's just say the last 3 years, and see all that has happened and still have a negative attitude? I'm going to tell you what you are. You may be sitting in that pew, but you're missing. You don't think a thing good. Hey, how about the 25 were saved and baptized in 1 month this year? Amen. How about a record baptism for this time of year from last year and ever in your church? How about the miracles? 59% of that guy's tumor is gone this night. And some of you sit back there like, bless me if you can. If I didn't bless you, Buster, your blessing broke.
Amen.
Am I preaching?
Amen. Right about it.
I'll tell you what your problem is, Jack. You are negative. You're a pouter.
Bless you, preacher.
So what got you riled up? Jubilee.
Amen.
If you can't take it, brother, wait till some of them guys get to 4 RPM next week. I'm just trying to get you moving a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been here 38 years, longer than most of you, and I've never been in a church that's got more power and more of the presence of God than this one does right now. And we better not miss it. You may, hey, listen, God may turn the water off. Don't miss his presence. Number two, well, glory. Look at verse 19. Look what he said to him. He repeated it twice. Peace be unto you. Don't miss his peace. There ain't nothing like being where God is. And you may have a world of trouble, and you feel the peace of God. Amen. You said, why? There's some of you, you're so upset all the time. You're so negative all the time. You're just like Thomas. Your power. And you miss God's peace. You know what you do? You spend most of your day worrying or mad or negative. Hey, back there, did y'all hear that? If you did, say amen or ouch. I'm going to tell you what this church needs. It's positive people. I'll tell you, we have more going on right now. But I got people in this church, listen, they're negative about what time we meet. They're negative about this. They're negative about that. They're negative about this. They're negative about the water. They're negative about if we don't have enough kids. They're negative if we got too many kids. God have mercy. Amen. Won't you get right with God?
Amen.
Get some peace. You know why you so messed up? Why you so argumentative? You don't have no peace. You wouldn't be fussing and cussing all the time. Verse 20. Better get off of that. Verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then his disciples were what? Now, some of you, can I tell y'all something so you come to church and not be shocked? They're going to shout next week. They're going to be praising next week. And I'm going to join them too. And I hope to God you come in with a shout instead of going. That ain't my favorite singer. I don't like bluegrass. You don't like nothing. Man, you know what is in the presence of God, Timmy? Shouting. And don't get upset with me. You said, I kind of like to go to a church where they're a little bit more reserved. Well, back there's the door going. But we done decided we're not going to be reserved anymore. He done hit a home run for me. He done scored the winning touchdown. I'm on the winning side. I'm going to heaven. The devil's going to hell. I got the victory. I got the victory. I got the victory. I'm going to shout it out. That's what we're, what do you think we're doing all this for? To have a place of praise. And Thomas missed the praise because he's out pouting. I'll tell you something else he missed. Look at verse 22. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. He missed the power. Let me ask you a question. Listen to my preaching tonight. If you don't let God the Holy Ghost take over you, you're not going to have the power. One of the greatest. Somebody told me that the disciples, that Pentecost was the birthday of the church. By the way, you're out of your mind. It was in its embryo form in Matthew 16. And then on the cross, he purchased it. And then right here, these boys received his power. Huh. Let me tell you what the problem is. The power is the Holy Ghost, okay? Some of you don't like to hear Holy Ghost. You'd rather say Holy Spirit. Power is the Holy Ghost. And by the way, how many of y'all saved? Raise your hand if you're saved. You know what that means? You got all the Holy Ghost you'll ever get. Then what's the question here? Then why don't you have the power? He don't have you. You done locked it off. See, here's what's happened. Down in your soul, let's talk about our life as chambers. Down in your soul, there's a chamber there called bitterness. You're bitter. Now, you ain't going to get better until you get rid of bitterness. And some of you's mad and bitter, and you don't even know any longer what you're mad and bitter about. And you'll never get over it. Somebody apologizes to you, that won't get it over for you because you done signed it. I'm bitter. Well, you can't be filled with the Holy Ghost. You're not. You're dry as a bone. You are not. Because he can't get in bitter places. Now, the other place is called unbelief. I can't help it, preacher. I just don't believe. Well, how can you be filled with the Holy Ghost if he can't get in that chamber? See, here's the whole problem. It's not that you don't have him, he don't have you. And you know what you're missing? You're missing the power of God. And we got members in this church that come to church every Sunday. Good people. Probably pay their tithe. But walk out the same way they come in. Powerless. Number five. I'm on point one. Dear God. Look in verse number 23. This is great right here. And whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sin you retain, they are retained. That's purpose. You know what that is saying to you? I don't know if you know what that's saying. Every believer in this room has the privilege of presenting Jesus. How many has ever led somebody to Christ? You know what happened to them? Their sins were remitted. Let me tell you what. I'm so frightened over this. As some of you, you still haven't found God's purpose for yourself. Hello. You say, well, I'm getting older. I don't feel good. You probably feel good as about anybody here. Brother Joe McKay, I love Joe McKay. I'm going to tell you about old Joe. Joe got retired, but I tell you what old Joe ain't doing. Now, I don't know how many of you got Parkinson's, but he does. And I was with him last week some, and his veins, he can't hardly walk. You know what Joe McKay decided? He came to me first year, and he said, will y'all teach me how to go to hospitals, and I'll go do whatever you want me to do. Joe, you could sit at home and pout. I thank God that you decided to do that. And by the way, you never get too old to find some purpose. Why don't you just quit pouting and say, I want to do something for God? Boy, oh boy. Hey, by the way, ain't time to pray yet. Some of you got your head in your lap and Angie Collins back there, she's second meanest woman in Putnam County. Behind my wife, okay, you're all right. I tell you, Angie, it was a happy day you decided to take on that food pantry. I know it's aggravating every once in a while. People jump lines, do stupid stuff, but you got purpose. Happiest people in the world, that's people that's active. Some of y'all you're so away from God that you can't even come to communion service because you feel so detached. You won't be here Friday night. We're going to have communion, but you done made your mind up. Something happened 2,500 years ago, and you just can't come anymore. You're missing. By the way, it's going to be great too. Number two. Is this a lot of preaching, ain't it? Look at verse 25 and 26. Not only do we see Thomas, the powder. That's why it wasn't there. We see Thomas, the doubter. Now, I got to tell y'all something. Can I give some? How many of y'all know some negative Christian that is about what I've been preaching on tonight, but pouting around, and they don't take part in the church, and they're just about half negative? How many of y'all know one of them? Okay. I want you to go visit them. And tell them this. Look what God's doing. Hey, Thomas, you missed church last Sunday, buddy. He come through the wall. He spoke peace to my soul. We shouted.
Amen.
Come on back, Thomas. Come on, Thomas. Get out of that pouting stage. Thomas did. He said, okay, I'll come back. But I ain't going to believe it till I stick my hand right there on my fingers. And I ain't going to believe it till I put it right there. Well, there's some of y'all, when you come next week, you're going to see some things you ain't never seen before. Hear my preaching. See, what your whole problem is, your belief system's weak. I ain't gonna believe it unless I see it. Hey, if you know some dead Christian ain't been out of church here at Tate Valley for a while, then go and see him and just drag him to church Sunday. Just drag him. Say, get up here, hound dog. Just get them out. Tell them what God's doing. I ain't going to be nothing to it. You're going to hear this, a little bit of preaching. You think you're just going to get a little bit of preaching? Just get them out. And then when Thomas got to church, doesn't happen. How many of you ever come to church for something already, you already made your mind up, you ain't going to like it? Now you ain't going to raise your hand, but you are like that. That's what he decided. I don't like this. I ain't coming. This ain't good stuff. The only reason I'm going, you force me. And he come in, and he said, I ain't going to believe. Now listen to the transforming power. I ain't going to believe unless I touch him. Now I want to ask you people something. I'm going to tell you this, and whether you don't agree with me or not, Chad, if you don't agree with this, son, we're going to fall out. Will you tell me something? Where did it say he touched him? Did he touch him? Do you think he touched him? Absolutely not. Because Jesus proved that in the next verse. Blessed are they that see not, yet believe. Here's what he done. He saw the spikes. He saw that. And by ladies and gentlemen, he got transformed. You know what's going to happen next week if you come with the right attitude spiritually and you be present next week? You're going to come next week if you come in the Holy Ghost. You're going to see some things, and all you're going to be able to do is say, the last point, not only did you start with a pout, you in the middle, you had some doubt, but I tell you, once this thing gets rolling, you're going to have some shout. He said, my Lord and my God. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a great God. He's a great I am. Woo! I'm looking forward for a transforming power. Here's all I'm going to ask you. You going to show up physically? And are you going to kind of do me a favor? Will you do me a favor? If you're mad at somebody, or if you just don't like something, and you don't like the carpet, blame Jared. You say the pulpit's a couple inches too big. Why don't you get over whatever stopped you? Over your pouting and your doubting and your negativity. Why do you have to stay like that? When it can be different. I want to tell you what. If I thought that all I lived for was negativity and griping, I wouldn't even come to church. Amen. I'd listen to Joel Osteen, and that'd be it. I want God. How many of y'all want God? Be able to say, my Lord and my God. Let me give you this. I'm done. It's 8 o'clock. He that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. You know what I think all of us ought to do tonight? And I ain't going to point nobody out. I just think if you got a problem, issue in your life, don't tell nobody. Just all of us ought to just come around the altar tonight and say, Lord, I want my life transformed. I want a real stirring change. I want faith instead of doubt. Stand with me.